Support for this episode of Pwn and the following message come from New Harbor Security. New Harbor Security is your end-to-end provider of security services and security solutions. If you're looking for smart security solutions and services for your business and a security partner that actually gives a shit, visit us at www.newharborsecurity.com. First things first. If you have an interest in election security and you have not heard of Estonia's e-voting system, then I would encourage you to do some research starting with this podcast. Now, there's a lot to Estonia's e-government initiative, and security is a key government enabler, allowing Estonia to be ultra progressive on various topics, including election security. I personally have always been a huge proponent of intelligence security applied correctly and applied in a way that is a business enabler. And Estonia's e-government system is an example of security enabling a progressive government. Hey, it's Justin. We're going to be diving into this one and more on this week's episode of Pwned. This is Pwned, a weekly show about questions I hear from security professionals, security engineers, and CISOs, and stories about how they're protecting their organizations. This show answers questions about all things information security, from technology to security frameworks to best practices and how-tos. I'm going to talk about Estonia's e-voting system. But in listening to this, you need to know that this e-voting system is incredibly complex and has some upstream and downstream mechanics that make this e-voting system successful. It took Estonia a very long time to build out some of these things, and it wasn't two dudes hanging next to the Fiat cheersing vodka while they locked down their voting system. Some examples of these upstream and downstream mechanics include the use of a universal digital identification card and the implementation of the Estonian X-Road. And perhaps someday, if I have a little bit more time, I'll spend a little bit more time talking about X-Road and how it enables Estonia's e-government initiatives and has some pretty significant impacts to Estonia's GDP. So, what's the deal with the internet voting in Estonia? In 2005, Estonia became the first country in the world to have a nationwide local elections where people could cast binding votes over the internet. Over the years, the Estonian government has been able to implement electronic elections at the local, national, and European levels. As of 2016, Estonia has held 8 elections over 10 years where people could cast their votes over the internet. Now, Estonia's total population is small. It's roughly 1.3 million people. And today, 1/3 of all their citizens cast their votes online. So, how does voting in Estonia work? The first and probably most important piece of voting infrastructure starts with the Estonian digital ID cards. This document allows citizens and residents to digitally sign documents and use private and governmental online services that require secure authentication. Digital ID cards also allow citizens to cast legally binding votes in a secure manner. Participation in the Estonian e-vote requires a computer with an internet connection and a smart card reader. Smart card readers are generally available in Estonia for less than 10 euros, and they're available at local computer shops and or supermarkets. Estonian citizens may also access the voting system at a public library or at common community centers in their local towns. As of 2011, citizens can also electronically identify themselves with a so-called mobile ID, which requires a special mobile SIM card with security certificates and 2 PIN codes. Although the digital ID card is still the most widespread method of digital identification. E-voting is available during the period up to the evening of the actual election day. The voting website is hosted by the Estonian National Election Committee. And in order to vote online, people are required to insert their digital ID card into a smart card reader with an internet-equipped computer. Next step is the electronic voters need to download the voting app, which is a standalone program for Estonian e-voting. Citizens use their ID card and their four-digit PIN to identify themselves to the system. At this point, the system checks whether the voter is eligible according to the age and citizenship to vote in the election. Once confirmed, voters can browse from a list of candidates and decide who to vote for. And in order to cast an e-vote, the voter has to choose a candidate and provide a separate and second five-digit PIN to vote. When certified correctly, the electronic vote is cast and sent over the server where it will be counted at an appropriate time. The technical setup of electronic voting mirrors the process for postal voting. With postal voting, the two-envelope system is used to cast a vote. The inner envelope contains a ballot for the voter's vote choice, but has no identification markings. The outer envelope contains the voter's identification information. When sent to the polling station, the information on the outer envelope is used to verify the voter's eligibility to vote, and if confirmed, the inner envelope will be separated from the outer envelope and put into a ballot box for counting. When an Estonian citizen sets up their digital ID card, they also set up two PIN numbers. The first PIN number is used as a pair with the digital ID card and is used for authentication. The second PIN is used for digital signatures. Estonia's e-voting system works the same way as postal voting. Once the voter has downloaded the election system voting application, the user is forced to authenticate using their PIN and their digital ID card. The voting application checks for the voter's eligibility to vote, including age and citizenship. Once authenticated, the voter then selects their desired candidate and is requested to enter their second PIN number to digitally sign their vote. By digitally signing the vote, the voter's personal data or outer envelope is added to the encrypted vote. Before the ascertaining of voting results during the evening of election day, the encrypted votes in the digital signatures are separated. Then the anonymous emails are open and counted. The system opens the votes only after personal data is removed. If this sounds confusing, then a real simple way to think about this is that the computer e-voting application uses the smart chip on the digital ID card in the first PIN number to authenticate the voter. Once the voter is authenticated and they've selected their candidate, the voting application asks for a second PIN number, which is used to encrypt the actual vote, acting as the digital signatory. Votes are encrypted using an asymmetric pair, and the voting application holds the public key, and the private key is used when the anonymous e-votes are tallied. Now, one of the commonly debated issues in terms of internet voting is the question of how to ensure secrecy in unsupervised environments. Because internet voting does not ensure voters can cast their votes alone or in private, the validity of internet voting must be demonstrated on other grounds. To ensure the voter is expressing their true will, they're allowed to change their electronic vote repeatedly up until election day or place a paper ballot instead. This mechanism ensures that coercion or vote buying will effectively be meaningless. And if a voter changes their electronic vote, only the last electronic vote cast will be considered as final, and any paper ballot supersedes all electronic ballots. Thanks for listening to the show this week. If you want to learn more, listen to previous episodes, or snag some show notes, you can go to my website at justinfinlay.com. and you can reach me on the website contact form, or you can direct message me on Twitter at Justin Finlayde. Please also subscribe to the show at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And please give us a 5-star rating because your ratings help to make the show possible. Deuces.